Our scripture this morning is from Paul's letter to the Romans, and we're going to read verses 1 to 7. Before we do that, let me offer a prayer. God, we thank you for the light of inspiration that came to the authors of the New Testament, to the authors of your scriptures. We pray for the same light to come now so that we might see and understand and hear. And we pray for the grace and power of your Holy Spirit so that your word would not fall on deaf ears, so that your word would transform us from within and empower us to respond in the ways of Jesus Christ. We pray through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's a story about a 68-year-old man who is attending his 50-year high school reunion. His name is David, and while David is shuffling to the door of the hall where they will be celebrating, a woman approaches him and rests her hand on his forearm. David, she says, there's something I've been wanting for years to say to you. You were very important to me. You were the first boy who ever walked me home. You were the first boy who ever walked me home and kissed me. David is a little startled at this unexpected revelation. But still, he tells Elizan that he remembers the walk too, although in his mind he's not quite sure. That night, lying in bed, twisting with the reunion's excitement, and for days following, David tries to recapture that walk which had ended in a kiss. David just can't seem to get his mind to let go of what had happened. And he tries to recall that evening so very long ago. He tries to recall, you know, what they had said on that walk and how they had touched and whether or not he had dared even to hold her hand. And so there is David. He has this memory of when he was young, and along with it, the reality of who he is now. This memory of when he was young so long ago, and now, you know, the reality of who he is now, a man in his late 60s, and it makes him think about his life. And David finds himself wanting to ask, Elizan, what does it mean? What does it mean, this enormity of our having been children and now being old, living next door to death? What could it possibly mean? Well, there are at least three big human experiences that keep pressing that question to the forefront of our minds. Three big human experiences, you could say that put us into a crisis of thinking about our lives and who we are and asking that question, what does it mean? How do I make sense of life and in particular this life of mine? Well, the first one we've already met in David and his ruminations, it has to do with the shortness of life and the ending of our lives. All of us, as someone has said, all of us, we are all like the meat and milk that we buy in the grocery store. We all have a best before date. You know, we're doing pretty good before this date and after it, not so much. We are, as we sang earlier, we are like the flowers of the field, as the Bible says, here today and gone and forgotten tomorrow. No matter how young and fabulous we might look today, no matter how much energy and vitality we have flowing through our blood and bones, it's all going to be over one day for every single one of us. I was reading this morning, and the author said this: there's a great amount of grief involved in simply being alive. First in being young, ambitious, and ready to conquer the world, and then in growing old and ill and weak and suffering and dying. And the question comes, you know, how in the world do you make sense of that? Along with the shortness, there is the problem of pain, the problem of suffering, especially the problem of innocent suffering. And I don't need to say a lot to remind you of, again, this mass shooting in an elementary school in Texas. It is of such great insanity, and something profoundly evil and wrong is going on where cultures and societies come to almost accept this as a normal part of life. And you can hear parents, if you think hard enough, you can think about the parents grappling to make sense of it. Fathers and mothers trying to pray. I don't really know what to say or think. I'm numb with horror and shock, and it makes no sense to me. And then third, there's the problem of moral failure. The Bible calls this missing the mark. It is the trespassing of sacred boundaries. We use the word sin. The human landscape abounds with stories of betrayal and brutality, of abandonment and infidelity, gross negligence. We find ourselves, against our better judgment, for example, attacking someone just because they are happy and successful. We find ourselves reeling and wounded after an evening of vicious and mean-spirited fighting and quarreling. People tell us that even the richest of people in this country give very, very minimal amounts of money to help out with the needs of the world. And we may find ourselves at certain times in our lives brooding over our missteps. And it is the many ways that we misstep and miss the mark that the questions are raised about meaning. As in, what kind of person am I? What is the meaning of who I am? And how do I make sense of myself and my life? We find these three big themes in the scriptures, of course, in its realistic account of human life. And for example, we meet people like Joseph, a man who is brutalized by his brothers, dumped into a pit, sold as a slave, carted off to a foreign country, faces false accusations, is thrown in prison, an innocent man. And for 20 years, Joseph lives in exile, separated from his family and his parents. And Joseph struggles to make sense of it all. And then there's King Solomon. Solomon wrestles with the ongoing, you know, grind of life, as we say, the shortness of life, the finality of death. And he asks the question, what does anyone gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? What is the point, he asks. And then there's the Apostle Paul, who speaks for all of us when he says, you know, I do not understand, I don't get it, what I do. For the thing that I want to do and that I know is right, I don't do. And what I actually do is not the good that I want to do. In fact, it's the evil that I don't want to do that I actually end up doing. And he exclaims, what a wretched, conflicted man I am. Who is going to rescue me from this body of death? In other words, how can I ever make sense of myself and these inner conflicts that I live with? These are the three big human experiences that raise the question, what does it mean? And how do I make sense of my life and the life that I see around me? And so as we read this scripture from Romans, we understand it as, you know, it is into this story of human suffering, you know, the shortness of life and our struggle with sin that Paul writes his letter. He's engaging that story. Paul is all too familiar with the human story. We could say quite accurately, he has seen it all, heard it all, and in many ways done it all himself. But Paul also here sees something more, for he has seen how a person can lose their life into the life of Jesus Christ. He sees how you can somehow have your life taken up into the life of Christ, and how all the meaninglessness and senselessness and questions and uncertainties and foibles and faults can be held somehow and healed in the mystery of the redemptive life of Jesus the Christ. In these opening verses, Paul introduces us to another story. He introduces us to the story of Jesus Christ. And in these verses, he reminds us that at the center of that story, at the center of the story of Jesus Christ, is resurrection from the dead. It's the central and key chapter in the life of Jesus. And the title of that chapter is called Resurrection. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul writes, he says, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. In other words, you are called to participate. You are called to belong. You are called to become absorbed in, united with Jesus Christ and his redemptive story. So that you don't live a life all on your own. You live a life with and in and for Jesus the Christ. Amen. And no matter what your life story is, no matter where you have come from or what your background is, no matter what struggles you have seen, no matter how senseless things have been for you, no matter your questions or uncertainties, no matter your particular suffering or your particular sin or the shortness of your life, it doesn't matter what kind of chapters you have lived or what things have looked like for you. All of this doesn't matter. You are still called to belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. And to your call to have your story and all the chapters of your life to be taken up into the redemptive story of Jesus. And here's the truth of it. That is the only way your life can make sense. There's no other way. Your life, with all that it involves and all that it includes, with all of its chapters, can only make sense if it becomes a redemptive story. So that your story is more than just being born and being young and being old and then dying. That can't possibly be. And there's certainly no way to make sense of it if that's all there is. So we've already met Joseph and Solomon and Paul, who have struggled to make sense of things in their own lives. And these three, we can't read the whole story and see it all, but these three, at some point in time, they come to some kind of clarity about things. And so Joseph, we hear him saying of his suffering, he gets to this point of saying, God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. And Solomon comes to say, there is nothing better for us than to be happy and to do good while we live, to find satisfaction in all of our toil. This is a gift from God. Amen. And Paul, he says, well, he asks that question of confusion and uncertainty. He says, who's going to rescue me from this body of death where I feel so conflicted about what's going on? And then he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so what these three men we see doing in the scriptures is that they put their struggles, their suffering, their sin, the senselessness, and the questions about their lives, they put all of this in the context of a much larger story. They put their personal stories, all the chapters of their lives, into the story of God. And the larger story of God is an unfolding story. It's a story of movement. It's a story that's moving right now. It's a story that's in progress. It's a story that has only just begun and has not yet come to its final end. It's a story that we cannot possibly ever fully know. It's a story that we only see in part and only understand in part. But still, we can know that this is God's story and that it's a story of redemption, and that somehow and in some way, the one who has died and risen is taking us to our own chapters of resurrection and glory. That somehow the one who has died and risen, to whom we are united, is taking us to our own chapters of resurrection and glory, when all things will be made new, and when we will see and know things as never before. When Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, says, you also are called to belong to Jesus Christ, he knows full well that our lives will have chapters of sorrow and despair. We will have chapters of uncertainty and doubts and fear. We will have chapters of wondering and wandering. We will have chapters of meaninglessness, maybe anger, infidelity, cynicism, laziness, confusion, all sorts of different chapters. But Paul says, it doesn't matter what the chapters of your life have been. It doesn't matter what the chapters of your life will be or will be. You are still called to belong to Jesus Christ. And in this scripture, Paul, right here at the beginning, still calls the Romans the holy ones of God. Amen. So you and I are called to find our lives in Jesus Christ. Amen. We are called to make sense of our days in the one who is and was and is to come. Amen. To place our story in between and within the beginning and the end. There's another story in the Bible that I would like to tell. It takes place just after Jesus' resurrection. And we're told there that two men are walking back to their hometown from Jerusalem. It is after they have witnessed the trauma, the suffering, and the crucifixion of Jesus. They are walking home, and we're told that they are talking together, trying to make sense of what they have seen. And while they are walking, the resurrected Jesus comes alongside of them. And Jesus begins to speak with them, converse with them. And the men don't recognize at first that it's Jesus. They only feel their confusion. The scripture tells us that their faces are downcast. Their mood is depressed. And they don't know the meaning of the things that have happened. And they struggle to make sense of it all. But Jesus begins to speak to them. And they become intrigued with what he is saying. So intrigued that they invite him home. They invite him into the story of their lives. They invite him into their searching, their wondering, their confusion. And they sit together at home, in their home. And they break bread. And once they invite him into their home, it is then that Jesus reveals himself. It is then that Jesus reveals himself as the resurrected Lord. And the men exclaimed, they say, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road?" Were not our hearts burning within us with all that confusion and questions and uncertainty and senselessness when we were talking on the road? And so this morning I invite you to do this with your life. Pay attention. Pay attention for when your own heart is burning with the question of meaning, the meaning of your own life. Pay attention to when your soul is wrestling, trying to make sense of things. Pay attention for when your soul is in confusion, asking, "What does it mean?" Pay attention, because at that very moment, when your heart is burning with confusion and uncertainty and senselessness, it is right there and right then when you are called, being called, to belong to the redemptive story of Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Let me lead you in a prayer. Let us take a moment to be silent. And in this silence, I invite you to gather into your own heart what it is that you need to hear. Lord God, in those times when we find ourselves struggling and wrestling and wondering, when we just can't seem to make sense of things, we pray that in those times we would hear your Spirit, and that we would hear that you are calling us to the redemptive story of Jesus the Christ. Amen. We pray that by the power of your Spirit, we might be united to his death and resurrection, and ultimately to his glory. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.